Let us pray. Our gracious God, open our hearts and quiet our minds so that we may hear and receive your word today, and we may prepare our hearts again to receive the Christ child during this Advent season. We thank you that we are your people and that you have come among us to love us and to be with us now and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson is Isaiah 9, verses 2 through 7, a famous Advent passage. To us a child is born. Hear the word of the Lord. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as soldiers rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and his peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. Thanks be to God. And from the New Testament, the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 12 through 30. This is the validity of Jesus' testimony. Hear Jesus' words. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said to them, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The Pharisees challenged him. "Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are right, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me." In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is valid. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is my Father who sent me. Then they ask him, "Where is your Father?" Jesus replied, "You do not know me or my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." Jesus spoke these words while teaching in the temple area near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because his time had not yet come. Again, once more, Jesus said to them, "I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin, and where I go, you cannot come. This then made the Jews ask, will he kill himself? Is that why he says, where I go, you cannot come? But Jesus continued, you are from below, but I am from above. You are of this world, but I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be. You will indeed die in your sins. They asked then, who are you? Jesus replied, just what I have been claiming all along. I have much to say in judgment to you, but he who sent me is reliable, and what I have heard from him, I will tell the world. They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said again to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Even as he spoke, many then put their faith in Jesus. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we thank you for your word to us today, that we have Jesus and that you are always with him as the Father, and that you are always with us. May our words and our worship today bring honor and glory to you as we celebrate this Advent season, as Jesus indeed is the light, the love, and the hope of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Our John passage today conveys the validity of Jesus' testimony to the Pharisees. Jesus speaks not by human standards, but by the divine authority of the Father. Jesus speaks the Father's words to the Pharisees' questions. Jesus says, I stand with the Father who sent me. And Jesus answers over and over, if you know me, you know my Father. I am from above. I am not of this world. And Jesus again states, I do nothing on my own, but speak what the Father has taught me. He who sent me, my Father, is trustworthy, and what I tell the world, I tell it from him. And the end of the story of John states, and many believed and put their trust in Jesus. Advent season represents the fact that we can trust the truth of Jesus coming from the Father, the Son in the flesh, the babe born in the manger, is the light of the world, from the Father, from above, come down, come to us. And whoever follows Jesus will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You see, my dear friends, in Advent, Jesus' words offer us his light, his hope, and his love. Isaiah writes, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Isaiah writes again, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." This is the gift of Advent. This is the Christ we are waiting for, the baby born in Bethlehem, whom we prepare our hearts to receive. Jesus' words, "I am the light of the world." And my dear friends, he is our light. And my dear friends, we live in a dark world. But Christ is the light that can penetrate the darkness, and nothing can extinguish that light. Let us receive the gift of light this Advent season as the presence of Jesus to lead us again to the manger. We need a little Christmas. Don't we need a little Christmas? And the music today brought us a little bit of Christmas. Our hearts prepare and yearn for the light of Christ to touch us this Advent season and be our light, our hope, and our love in our dark world. The Israelites in Exodus 13, 21, as they went across the desert, stated that the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way by night in a pillar of fire and to give them light so that they could travel by night or by day. God gave Israel two guides while they traveled through the wilderness. A pillar of cloud to lead them by day and carry them forward, and a pillar of fire to lead them by night so the light would never be extinguished. Today, we need those pillars. We need God's pillars of light and of cloud to give us his hope and his love in the darkness so it will never, ever be extinguished. So we can have the hope, the heart, and the love of Christ and keep moving forward on our journey to the manger. Jesus is our cloud by day. Jesus is our fire by night until we reach that promised manger on Christmas Day. The Israelites knew that the terrain in the desert was difficult. They needed that light to get them to the promised land. Our journeys and our lives are difficult, and we need the pillar of Christ's light and love to keep us moving and to trust in him that he will never forsake us. And my dear friends, he never, ever, ever will. Like a ship in the water or a winding road through the desert, we need Christ to guide us. We need his light to lead us. We have, as human beings, a limited vision. We can't see ahead. It's like when we look in a mirror. We only see in front of us. Or when we ride in a car on a rainy day and the windows fog up. Mine fog up all the time. And I may not be able to see where I'm going. But when we have Christ, he is our light. And he gets us forward and moves us in the right direction. And he never fails us. The good news of Christmas, my dear friends, is that Christ is coming to lift the fog and the darkness of our world that hangs over us. And he comes to take it away and to clear away that darkness and doubt and uncertainty so that we will be able to see his glorious light of heaven shining down upon us. Born in our midst, born in that stable, born for us in joy and goodness to put our lives in the Savior's loving hands, in that baby born who only desires to pour his love upon us so we can see him, so we can know God's truth brought to us. What God has in store for us is goodness, love, hope, and joy. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." We are called to get up on our feet and to follow Christ. He can lift our doubt and darkness so that we can get a clear vision of our future, bathed in His light, to move our world forward, to move our church forward, to move our lives forward in the way that Christ would call us. He is our light. Jesus says, "Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, never, but will have the light of light." Isaiah says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, have seen a great light. And those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned forever." In Advent, as Susie did today, she lighted the beautiful Advent candles to prepare for Christ's coming. In ancient Israel, candles were lighted in the Feast of the Tabernacles, the ceremony of the illumination of the temple, which involved the ritual lighting of the four golden candelabras in the court of women. For additional reflection of light, each woman lit four more candlesticks and set them in floating bowls of water in the women's court, producing such a spectacle of illumination that it said all Jerusalem glowed and reflected the light. All night long, the magnificent light glowed from the court of women in the temple throughout all Jerusalem. And all the women and all the people sang and danced before the Lord, while others prayed and waited for God's promises to be fulfilled. For God promised a long ago that a child who would be God's anointed Messiah and King would be born to redeem and save His people. Shining in the darkness would be that light from heaven poured down in Christ Jesus our Lord. So you see, my friends, for thousands of years, from the Israelites through the early church to us today, we have been proclaiming the light of Christ, Jesus our Messiah, given for the world. We see God's light and love for us poured out in this baby, the King of the world, the baby who is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, and Prince of Peace. There's a beautiful poem that I want to share of Jesus climbing down through the stars to the stars on earth, the divine face meshing with the human heaven, touching earth. We call it incarnation. You came as a star, led by a star, through the stars, to the stars. We never knew we were stars until you came. Oh God, we welcome you. We lovingly share our frail human flesh and our starry planet with you. We wrap you in our flesh. We embrace you with joy as we reach out your hands and your heart to become one with us. It was Mary who first wrapped you in our human flesh. Her womb, the first altar, consecrated from all eternity to be your earthly home. How holy is this earth? Your glory streamed through our lives like stars. The day you leaned down from heaven, you came to help us see our glory following your star. We lean into your glory. In your light, we see your light. We see the light. We never knew we were stars until you came. In the light, Christ enlarges our lives. He enlarges our hopes, our expectations, our vision, and our boundaries to see the wonderful promises yet to be fulfilled as he comes again this Advent season and this Christmas. I call you, my dear friends, to come on this spiritual journey with Christ this Advent season. Let him be your guide. Let him lead you again to the manger. The great Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes, "In the light of Christ, there is still hope beyond the darkness. There is no defeat. God is love." That means that the beginning and ending of human life are sheltered in the hands of God. With warmth and light, let our flame today of the light of Christ, our candles, pierce the darkness and carry us forward into the light of Christ. Mother Teresa writes, "All things are decided by God. We have to put our trust and our faith in him, in his light, and in his guidance, and do the work that he has called us to do." Mother Teresa prays, "Flood our souls with your light, O God. Flood our souls and our spirits with you. Penetrate our darkness and radiate your life in us. Shine in us. Stay with us, so that we shall begin to shine as you shine in us, so that we may shine and be a light to others. O Jesus, with your light, that our light may indeed be a radiance of you." Isn't that what it's all about, my friends? Coming to receive the gift of Christ again this Advent season. Again, Henry Nouwen writes, "In the depths of my heart, God teaches me wisdom. It is here that I am able to own the truth written in the scriptures that Jesus is indeed the truth of the Father, that God indeed chose to lean down from heaven to give to us his goodness, to tell us how good we are, that he wanted to become one with us." You see, that's the good news of Advent, that in our frailty, God chose to be enthroned with us in his sojourn on earth with us. God loved us so much that he wanted to get inside our own skin. God loved us enough to help us see our dignity and our value as sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are indeed like the stars. Our light is the reflection of a greater light. We are beautiful to behold when he lets his light shine upon us and through us. You see, my friends, the feast of Christmas is the feast of God's leaning down from heaven to become one of us. It is the most awesome moment in all history. God has come to earth to pitch his tent in our hearts, to make his dwelling place within us as his beloved. What a beautiful day Christmas is, the day Christ was born in the manger, and the day Christ is born in our hearts. Christmas is God's gift of love to us. William Barclay, the great theologian, writes, "The fact of Jesus coming at Christmas is the final and unanswerable proof that God loves us and cares for us and chooses to make himself visible in the baby born in the manger. It is indeed a great miracle. Most of us would expect the Son of God to be born in a palace with privilege. But it is just, my friends, the opposite. Jesus is born in a cattle shed, not a palace. Mary and Joseph are plain people like us, like you and me. There is nothing in the birth of Jesus which makes any sense, except that God chose the lowly to pour out his greatest gift of love to us. This love so clearly reveals in Christ now invites each of us to approach this manger with the assurance that the God who dwells in humble places will come and dwell with us in great love in our hearts again this Christmas. And we thank God with the depth of our hearts for his great gift of love expressed in Christ our Savior. And we ask that he will open again our hearts to receive him. Christ is not only our light and our love, but he is also our hope. Mary's confession in Luke 1:49, God has done great things for me. The shepherds prepare and were amazed at the miracle of Christ's birth. And they passed on the great message that the Christ child has been born. And the angel Gabriel writes in Luke 2:17 to 18 and Luke 1:37, nothing is impossible with God. That is our hope. In the crushing realities of life, when we are tempted to give up in despair, throw in the towel, and quit, Christmas hope stands tall in the hope of Christ. Isaiah 49:23 writes, "Then you will all know me," God says. "I am the Lord, and those who hope in me will never be disappointed." Never. We can face life's uncertainties, perplexities, pain, and disappointment with confident hope that Christ is shining in the darkness and will prevail. Nothing, 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 nothing can separate us from the light, the hope, and the love of God poured out for us in Christ Jesus in that manger. Christmas turns things around. Let Christ be born in your hearts this Advent season and this Christmas. We come to you, O Lord, with great need of hope. We know true hope comes from you, and there is no other. When life burdens us and hope might grow dim, pour into us again the power of the Holy Spirit that we may feel and experience your hope, living a new fire within us from the baby born in the manger this Christmas season. And my dear friends, we need to walk to Bethlehem. We need to walk to Bethlehem together this Christmas. We need to come again to the manger, to the splendor of Bethlehem. Christmas tells us of the glory of the baby born, who could befriend humanity, who could welcome little children, who could raise us up to be his sons and daughters, who could overcome all forms of injustice, illness, sickness, poverty, and death. As we come to the manger, let us find this life-changing event again in our own hearts, in the cradle of the Christ child born in Bethlehem. Let us experience this Christmas the real gift of the Christ child. Let us know the truth of the baby born in us. No one can come to Bethlehem without the response of faith. As it said in the parable with the Pharisees today, with Jesus, they responded with faith and trust. As we come to the manger, Christ must be born in us again in faith and trust and love, so that we may receive his gift and be called his children now and forever. No one has ever actually seen God, but he has left his divine imprint on the world in the baby, in Bethlehem, in the cradle. May the shepherds guide us there. May the angels sing us there. May we come there this Christmas. Jesus is not God. He is the Son of God, born in flesh with us. But he represents the Father, and the Father has sent him to us. And may the Holy Spirit open us again as we come to Bethlehem to receive him in the manger this Christmas. And I'm going to have Al come up and play. And as we have some prayer time, I'm going to read O Little Town of Bethlehem, this wonderful hymn written by Bishop Phillips Brooks. He lived from 1835 to 1893, and he was appointed in 1891 bishop over all the Episcopal churches in Massachusetts. And he died unexpectedly in 1893. And he was born by all who knew him. And in the Trinity Church in Boston, there's a statue of Phillips Brooks. And beside Phillips Brooks, there is a figure of Christ standing beside him, who was always with him and beside him. And so when he passed away and they made a statue of Phillips Brooks, they put a statue of Jesus beside him. Because Phillips Brooks always said in his ministry, Jesus always stood beside him. May Jesus always stand beside us this Christmas season. And may we always come to Bethlehem, to the manger, to find him born again in our hearts, in all light, all love, and all hope, now and forevermore. Let us pray. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth your everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years will be met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary, and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wondering love. O morning stars together, proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God our King, and peace to all on earth. How silently, the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him, still the dear Christ enters in. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in each of us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Amen.